This is the second sermon in our series titled, A Little What? Wisdom Goes a Long Way. We're in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. A little wisdom goes a long way. Now, Caitlin, I've got a few pictures. I want you to bring those up and I'll kind of cue you as we go. How many of you are familiar with this? A lot of you. Too familiar with it, probably. I remember when I was a kid, one of the best ways to earn a little bit of money when you weren't old enough to actually get a legal job was to fire up a lawnmower and go scout some yards to mow. And I don't know how many of you ever did that, but when I was 12 years old, I was asking my dad for some money one day, and he said, "Son, I got a surefire way for you to always have money in your pocket." I said, "What's that, Dad?" And he said, "We got a lawnmower right out back." And he says, "I'm going to let you use it anytime you want to use it, and you can go find grass to cut." And I said, "Oh, come on now." So when I was 12, I started cutting yards. And as I started cutting yards, people heard about it, and other people asked, could I come cut theirs? And my dad had some guys at work. He told them about it, so I would cut the grass out their deer camp or around their pond levees and things like that. And folks, I was 12 years old, and Billy, on any given week, I might have $100 in my pocket, right? So when my buddies came over, I could buy the pizza. I could rent the movies, right? I had the cash in my pocket. And that cash came from hard work. Hard work. There's no doubt about it. Take a look at the next one. I got a little older, and then folks who did a little farming, I know some of you are very familiar with this site, right? They said, "We need some help hauling hay." Now I thought, hey, it's, you know, not that big a deal, right? You chuck a bale of hay in the back of a truck. What I didn't realize, Will, I was going to be chucking hay as high as the ceiling of the church, right? But once again, hard work, but fair pay, and everybody I ever hauled hay for fed me supper at the end of the day, Brother Billy. You couldn't beat it. You got a little pocket money, and you got a free meal out of it, right? So, good deal. But every single dollar that I made when I was in that hay field was made from hard work. Hard work. Take a look at the next one. Now, those of you who have not been indoctrinated, let me just tell you. When you're at McDonald's and you're waiting in that line and you're frustrated and you're yelling and hollering and being rude to those people that work up there, they're cooking your food. You always need to keep that in mind when you go to a fast food place. When I was 16, you know, when I was young, that was the age where you could get a legal job, was at 16. The McDonald's in Fordyce had just been built and they were finishing up construction. And I remember going out to the site. They weren't even done with all the construction. And I walked up to a guy and I said, "Hey, I need a job. I'm 16. I'm legal. I got to go to work today." He said, "Well, it's not even finished yet." I said, "I'll pick up the trash. I'll do whatever you need. I'll rake. I'll wipe something down. I'll move stuff. Whatever you need." They hired me as part of the cleanup crew to finish the construction. And then when I was done with that, I came on as an employee at McDonald's. Worked at McDonald's all the way through my senior year in high school and paid for the first vehicle I ever owned, Brother Billy, cash money myself. Bought it completely by myself, paid all my insurance and all my gas money. And trust me, it was a 63 Chevrolet and I needed a lot of gas money. A lot of gas money. So, the point of what I'm trying to say is from the age of 12 all the way through my senior year in high school, I always had money in my pocket. And it wasn't because my parents were wealthy or because my parents handed me money all the time. The way that I got that money was through something that you don't hear a lot about these days, and it's called hard work. Look at the person next to you and say, "Hard work." Hard work. And believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about hard work. It has a lot to say. In fact, it has so much to say, it makes me wonder why we don't hear sermons like this more often. Amen? Amen. We're going to get it today. Proverbs 10 had at least four scriptures that we're going to share today about hard work. But there's a twist to it. There's a twist to it. There's one scripture we're going to study and you're going to go, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense," as someone who goes to church. And then you're going to get into the other ones and you're going to say, "Well, those scriptures don't make sense together." In fact, I've already had one person, Brother Jesse, before we even started, he said, "Pastor, take a look at these notes." He said, "This scripture doesn't make sense with this scripture." He said, "I just wanted to get you before you got up there and people started asking questions about your preaching." Trust me, it's the way it's supposed to be. It's God's Word, and I promise it makes sense. So, there's a twist to it. We're going to get into that. But what I want to do is I want to start with our main idea. You ready for it, church? Here it is. Repeat this after me. Know that everything you have is a blessing from the Lord. But work as if it all depended on you. Now, some ministers I've heard in the past have tried to debunk this idea, right? That God helps those who help themselves. And I've heard ministers say, "Well, that's just not true," and they rail on it. But let me tell you something, folks. The scripture that I read and the verses that I put together actually back up that statement. The idea is that God blesses us with everything, right? Because you couldn't even go to work if you couldn't breathe. You couldn't go to work if you didn't have the strength to get out of bed. You couldn't go to work if you didn't have the drive to provide for your family, right? That comes from knowing Jesus and knowing Scripture and wanting to provide for your family. And folks, let's just be honest. You couldn't get up and go to work if you weren't alive. Right? I mean, we owe every single blessing that we have to God. But as Christians, the Bible calls us to work as if it all were up to us. Know in your heart, know in your mind, know in your spirit that everything is a blessing from God. But know in reality, that is not a pass to just sit and wait for God to pour out stuff on you while you're being lazy. Amen? Amen. We got to work hard. So we're going to jump right in with our first scripture today. And our first scripture is going to come out of Proverbs chapter 10. All of them in Proverbs chapter 10. So if you're there in your Bible, you're there for the sermon. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 talks about blessing. And it says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one what? Rich. And He adds no sorrow with it." Now that translation is a little confusing and hard to understand. So what I did was I found a paraphrase. Now understand, a paraphrase is not a literal translation. It's a person who said, "I want to try to make this verse understandable." So they wrote it in a way that's more understandable. So I'm not telling you to go study a paraphrase. You study a regular version of the Bible. But sometimes you get a little help with this. So bring up our paraphrase, Caitlin. It's the very next one. This is Proverbs 10:22, same verse out of God's Word paraphrase. "It is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it." Now, I want you to try to understand what this verse is communicating. It's saying that, Brother Billy, apart from the blessing of God, you can't earn more than you've already got. Are you following me? It's not saying that hard work is no good. It's not saying hard work is not necessary. What it's saying is that if you didn't have God pouring out the blessing, it doesn't matter how hard you work. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter how hard you work because everything that we have comes from the Lord. All of our blessings come from the Lord. So, it's the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it. Now, let's talk about what this word rich means. Now, when you say the word rich, probably images pop into your head. Will, what's the first image that pops into your head when I say the word rich? Money, right? Money. All right, Jason, first, rich. What pops in your head? Bunch of stuff, right? You know what pops into my head? Bella, what pops into your head? Gold. All right, gold. You know what pops into my head for some reason? A guy in like a really, you know, clean white, you know, yachting uniform with his little hat on, sipping a martini on a yacht. For some reason, that pops into my head when I hear the word rich. I just see that. I don't know why. I just do. I see palm trees too sometimes. I don't know why that is. It's the way society programs you, I guess. But this word rich is really loaded, is it not? Because rich is not just about money or gold or lots of stuff or yachts or any of that. Rich is a broader term. How else can you be rich if you excluded money and material possessions? Relationships, health, Bella. Family, very good. Family. How else? Freedom. Okay. Huh? Now, there we go. And that wraps it all up, doesn't it? Think about how rich you are when you have a loving relationship, or you have your health, or you have a family that loves you, or when you have a God that created the entire universe, that loved you so much that He reached down to you even when you were still a sinner and sent His only begotten Son to die, an innocent, pure, clean man, to die for our filthiness and our rags, and then to be raised again on the third day to give us new life. That's rich. And if you have Jesus in your life today, folks, you're wealthy. You're wealthy beyond money. You're wealthy beyond houses or yachts or stuff or gold or any of that. You've got something greater. But this scripture, it brings all of that in together, right? So we talk about being rich, we can talk about material stuff, we can talk about money, and we're going to today. But we also want to talk about family and relationships and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, it is the Lord's blessing that makes a person rich. And we have a big definition for what rich means. And hard work adds nothing to it. Not saying the hard work is a bad thing or that it's no good, but it's saying that as hard as you work, right, God is blessing you with every single thing. He meets you where you are, folks. He meets you where you are. Now let's take a look at the next one, because this is where the twist comes in. Now we just read that it's the blessing of the Lord that makes a person rich, and hard work adds nothing to it. But I want you to look at Proverbs 10:4 for just a second. It says, he who has a slack hand becomes what? Poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. What? Didn't it just say the hard work adds nothing to it? And that's why I tell you guys when we study or when I preach that you have to take all the scriptures and put them together. You can't just take one and preach on that one without thinking of all the other scriptures in the Bible. So, the one we just read has to make sense with the one we're reading right now. Amen? It's in the same chapter in the Bible. Right? It's not like I went from one chapter, 10 chapters over, or 10 books over. This is the exact same chapter, so they have to make sense together. He who has a slack hand. Will, what's a slack hand?
A lazy hand.
A person who is lazy will become... The Bible also says if a man will not work, he will not eat. And that's another sermon you don't hear a lot anymore, right? If a man will not work, he will not eat. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. There is no mystery why lazy people have nothing. Let me repeat that so everybody can hear. There is no mystery why lazy people have nothing. And also there's no mystery why diligent people, people that work hard over a long period of time, there's no mystery why they have things. Are you following me this morning? But let's jump from the material to the spiritual. Let's jump from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In a spiritual sense, you can have a slack hand. Or you can be diligent. And folks, it's a sad thing to see a church or a group of Christians who are flat out spiritually lazy. Now I look out here and I'm thinking, how can I preach a sermon about laziness? Everybody I know in the church works hard. Everybody I know here works hard. They have houses, they have cars, they have jobs, they take care of their children. I can't think of anybody in this church that's lazy in the sense that they don't provide materially. But see, the Lord impressed on my heart that it's bigger than just the material stuff. It's bigger than just the money or the houses or the cars. There's a spiritual side to this as well. And folks, if we've been blessed by the Lord and that He sent Jesus to die for us, and that big, huge, great, awesome sacrifice was made on our behalf, don't you think we ought to be doing something in return? No, Pastor, no. It's not through works that we're saved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you got to work hard so that you'll be saved. What I'm saying is that you got saved. It was free. It was wonderful. It was amazing. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But He still did it. So you ought to want to serve Him. You ought to want to do something. You ought to want to act on that. It says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. Folks, lazy Christians, or why the kingdom of God is not progressing faster than it is today. Lazy Christians are why churches aren't growing hand over fist. Lazy Christians are why more ministry isn't getting done for the kingdom. Amen. You might say, Pastor, I work hard for my family. I work really hard. I provide for my family. I do the best that I can. I work long hours. I get it. But while you're working those long hours, how good a witness are you for Jesus Christ? Are you a light in a dark world? Are you the salt of the earth? Do you bring Jesus with you wherever you go? Are you a witness in your own home to your own children, your husband, or your wife? And folks, I'm not even talking about putting up a crate in the middle of town and preaching. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just living the Christian life in front of all that work with you, in front of your boss, in front of your employees, in front of your children. Not being ashamed of Jesus, making sure that people know that awesome gift that you were given. Because it says the hand of the diligent makes rich. And folks, if you're diligent in that, you understand the blessing that's been poured out on you, and you work hard at living a holy life. You work hard at breaking those habits. You work hard at being a godly parent. You work hard at being the salt of the earth and a light on a hill. If you work hard at that, the principle of this scripture says it will make rich. You're going to see people come to know Jesus. Your children are going to follow Christ. Your church is going to grow. Your influence at work is going to spread. People are going to be happier around you. They're going to have joy they never had. Yes, some of them aren't going to like it. Some of them are going to resist it. But some of them aren't. Amen? Amen. All right. So, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So, the practical, everyday, material lesson we're learning is don't be lazy. Look at the person next to you and say, don't be lazy. But the spiritual lesson goes even deeper. When it comes to our witness for Christ, when it comes to the life we're living for Jesus, don't be lazy. Look at the person next to you and say, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Let's take a look at the next one, Caitlin. Bring this up. The wise and the shamed. How many of you want to be wise? How many of you want to be ashamed? No takers? Okay. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes what? Shame. So we're talking about the difference between being wise and being shamed. Or really, this is about you being wise, and then when you get to the shame part, it's about shaming your family. If you really think about it, right? It's about bringing shame to your family. And keep in mind that the people in this time when this scripture was written, their lifestyle was very different than ours, right? If it's December, Tim, and you want some flour because you want to make some biscuits, where would you go get your flour? You head to the grocery store, right? I mean, you're not, you know, milling the grain and, you know, producing your own flour at home. We don't do that anymore, right? You go to the grocery store. See, in their day, if you didn't harvest enough stuff to get you through the winter, what happened to you when winter came? You didn't have it and you died, right? You starved. That's how it worked. You had to get the work done while you could get the work done, so that when there wasn't any to do, you had plenty to get you through. How many of you here have ever done logging? Raise your hand. All right. Jamie, tell me this. Are there seasons where loggers don't have a lot of work? What do you have to do to get through those seasons? Scrim and scrape. You got to save a little bit, don't you? Right? Every logger I've ever talked to, you know, they make good money when the money's there, right? And they work hard and they push hard. They work long hours because they know that there's going to come a time where that work's not going to be there anymore. So they got to put that money back so that they have something to live on. See, this scripture backs up that idea. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Now let's go to the material. Folks, there's a time when work is available, money's there to be made, and we ought to be responsible enough to keep ourselves gainfully employed, take care of our families, put back whatever we can, and be really prudent about how we take advantage of those moments. Because how many of you have ever been unemployed? Raise your hand. I'm raising mine. I've been there. The work may not always be there. So you've got to make sure that when the work is there to be done, that you get it done. Can I get an amen? Laziness is not compatible with working when the work's there to get done, because lazy people, they just want to be lazy, right? They want to relax. They want to sleep in. They want to just do their thing. But when there's work to be done, Christians, we ought to get it done, because there may come a time where it's not available anymore. But let's look at the spiritual side of this. What are you going to say on judgment day when you stand before the Lord and He says, you had 1,287 opportunities to be a witness to these people, and you lived like you didn't know me? You never opened your mouth about me. You never invited anybody to church. Be honest, you didn't do anything. How are you going to feel? Now, we're not going to get into whether or not you're saved. We're not going to get into that. What I'm going to ask you is, what are you going to feel like? What are you going to feel like when you stand before Jesus Christ and you know that there are some people who aren't going to be in heaven simply because you were lazy and you didn't get the work done when it was there to do? Hey, the New Testament says, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are... He said that 2,000 years ago. The workers are few. Now, folks, how many Christians are there supposedly in the United States of America? That's a great guess, bro. He said 187,000. Now, there's millions that profess to be Christians. Millions. So why in the world would Jesus say, knowing how big Christianity was going to be, right? Why would He give us a scripture that says, you know, the harvest is ripe, it's there, it's ready, there's all kinds of people ready, but there's not going to be very many workers? So we need to pray that God will raise up workers. Amen? Think about this scripture. It works in real life with real material stuff, right? You get the work done when it's there to get done, so you got plenty to get you through the rough times. That makes common sense. But spiritually, you've only got so many days and so many months and so many years. They are numbered. Look at the person next to you and say, your days are numbered. Hey, that's obvious. That's common sense. Your days are numbered. You only have so many days to be a witness for Jesus Christ. My question to you is, are you gathering in the summer like a wise son? Or are you sleeping in the harvest? Are you the one that brings shame to the family? Now, folks, I'm not going to stand here and say to you that I do this perfectly, because I don't, Nina. Hey, I need to repent of this as much as anybody here. But church, you can't tell me that there's not somebody in this place that could be doing a better job of harvesting while there's work to be done. Amen? Amen. Let's take a look at the last one. I especially like this one. Laziness isn't good for anybody. Guess what? Everybody gets hurt when you're lazy. Listen to this one. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Now, Ken, I won't ask you to name names here, but you run a business. Have you ever had anybody work for you that was lazy? He said, oh, yeah. Now, how frustrating is it for a businessman, someone who's paying somebody a wage, when you say, go get this done, you know they can do it mentally, right? You know they can do it physically, but they just don't get it done. How frustrating is that for you? Does this scripture resonate with you? Let me tell you something. Do you know what vinegar does to your teeth? It eats the enamel off. What happens when you have no enamel on your teeth and you drink something cold? Or you eat something hot. I want you to get the expressions, because the way that they use these in the scripture is beautiful. You have to think of what it would actually be like, okay? No enamel on your teeth because vinegar has eaten all the enamel off. There's no protection, right? Not only are you feeling all the stuff, right? The nerve endings, it's anguish. But your teeth are going to eventually rot and fall out of your head. Pretty frustrating situation. And then smoke to the eyes. I want to tell you, I had a pastor when I was a kid, and he took us camping one night, and he played a really bad trick. I still have not forgiven him to this day. God help me. He told us a werewolf story, Brother Billy. And he said the only way that you can keep a werewolf away while you're sitting by a fire is to follow the smoke and look directly into the smoke and never close your eyes. And if you ever close your... Now listen, I'm like 10, okay? So I'm believing it. Because this is my preacher, and he's preaching the Bible. This man's about truth and honesty. And I'm thinking, if he's telling me, this must be scripture, right? This is God speaking to me. The werewolves are going to eat me if I don't look into the smoke. So, you know, we're idiots. We're walking around a fire, and we're crying, and the smoke's blowing our face, and he's falling out of his chair laughing, right? He really manipulated his authority there a little bit too much, I think. Have you ever gotten smoke in your eyes? It burns. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. They're saying, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send them. Now, folks, there's two sides to this. Either you can be in a situation where you're the employer, And you've got employees, and you send them out to do a job like we were talking about, Ken, and they're lazy. That's painful. That hurts. It's not good for the employer. But guess what? Sometimes you're not in that situation. You're in a situation where you're the employee, and you go out and you're lazy, and you're thinking, well, who's that hurting? It's hurting your family. That's who it's hurting. Because guess what? If you're lazy for too long, Ken, what's going to happen to you? You're going to run them off. They're going to get fired, right? You're hurting somebody every time you bring that lazy attitude to whatever you're doing. Can I get an amen? Now, that's the material. That's the real world, money exchanging hands, common sense definition of this. You're going to hurt somebody when you're lazy. It's going to be anguish to them, right? But there's a spiritual side to this too. God has sent each and every single one of us Christians into this world. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called as an evangelist. You may not be called as a foreign missionary. You may not be called to anything like that, like some religious job. But you are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ in this world. No doubt about it. I can quote scripture after scripture. You are called to be a witness. And you have been sent. And if you have been sent and you are being lazy, God's going, ah! Ah! You think that's inappropriate? Guess what? That's what that scripture means. If you are being lazy in your spiritual life and you're being lazy in your witness, God is up there going, what is Will doing? I sent him on this job. I know he can do it. I gave him the Holy Spirit. He doesn't even have to do much. Just open his mouth and be obedient. It's not hard. He just won't do it. Oh, what's going on? Why are my people so lazy when I've given them so much to work for and so much of a harvest to reap? Why are they so lazy? I don't know. I don't even pretend to know what your situation is. I don't pretend to know it. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm not saying you have a problem with laziness in your job or, you know, how you provide for your family, how you provide for your family, but maybe you do. And if you do, today's the day that needs to change. In church, I'm not saying that you're lazy spiritually. I'm not saying you have a lazy witness. But if the Holy Spirit's telling you that this morning, you need to listen and you need to act on it this morning. Do not allow yourself to walk out of this place and ignore what God's trying to do. If you need to work on this, if this is something you need to repent of and get right with God, let today be the day that you say, God, I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to work hard when it's time to work. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to put things back. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to be honest and have integrity when it comes to who employs me, right? I'm going to make sure that I'm doing my best to work as hard as I can. Because this is not just for other people. This is also for you. But also spiritually, Father, I'm going to work hard at living a righteous life in front of other people. I'm going to work hard at being obedient. I'm going to work hard at being a light in a dark world, salt of the earth. I'm going to work hard at being a godly father and a godly husband or mother or employee or friend. And if you're struggling in those areas today, right now is the time to get right and get strength and pray that God's going to help you in the future. But you got to make that decision. You got to take that step.